It is The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. We mentioned it last hour. I know this is last minute, but anyway, out there right now, I'm assuming maybe even tickets are sold out, so maybe I shouldn't, but Coaches versus Cancer tonight there at Gordyville, which is in Gifford. Bill Raftery. You also have Bo Borowski, former official.
Is that right?
Bo Borowski was a... I checked the media email today, and I skimmed through right past that last time, but I reread it today. Yes. Bill Raftery, Greg Campy, and Bo Borowski.
So Bo Borowski's like one of the featured guests that's going to be on the panel?
He is, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Is he sure he's going to be safe stepping foot around Champaign or what?
It's a good question. I think he'll be fine because he's not blowing any calls here recently, but not a very popular
probably,
official.
Probably couldn't have come like 2 years ago when he was still
officiating. Right. Now, not that any official could get that thing done. Courtney Green definitely isn't getting invited. I've heard that Brad...
That one ref that teed Brad up against Nebraska this year is never getting an invite, I'll tell you that
much. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I've heard that Brad always... It might be lesser of some evils here, but always liked Borowski and getting him on a game. Thought that he controlled the game well in terms of managing the coaches, keeping them informed on calls and actually having a conversation. Because I think coaches get upset when, you know, after a call, they want to come over, they want to wave a guy over and chat him up about a call. There are some that have a real edge and ego to them that will not talk to coaches, that will be quick trigger with technicals. And it didn't seem like Borowski was one of those guys. Now, I always said that Borowski was someone that if he was on the call, for one, I would not be happy. If I was a fan, just a fan of the game, I didn't think he was very good. But then again, I don't think Kelly Pfeiffer's good. I don't think a lot of these guys are good. Courtney Green's terrible.
And he was somehow in the Elite Eight officiating. I mean, really?
Green?
Yeah. I mean, come on. What are we doing here?
I don't know.
What has he done to earn that spot?
Maybe you and I need to go into refereeing because the climb to the top might be there for the taking. You know, you may not have to be very good to get it. You definitely don't have to be very good. Yeah, even the high knees Anderson guy, he was at I forget which Illinois game it was. Maybe it was the Iowa game when things got called really tight in the second. I'm like, man, this dude, I do not agree with the way he's officiating this thing. So, yeah, I agree. You don't have to maybe be fantastic in terms of job quality to get some of these games. But all right, you want to talk Omar Ballo? You want to talk some of these texts here real quick?
Let's get to some of these texts.
All right, we'll stay Illinois specific. A 217 say, hear anything on Maddox's visit and how that's going or where we stand. Dante Maddox Jr., of course, is the guy that we're discussing here from Toledo, and he started an official visit yesterday at Illinois. We'll run through today. You had him visiting Louisville this past weekend, scheduled to go to Xavier, I believe, as early as tomorrow. So those three visits are set up and in line. The rest of his top five are Creighton and Michigan. He's been quoted as saying that he'd like to possibly visit even all five before making a decision. I don't know that he will actually do that, but it does seem right now the top three are these guys are these players that are getting him on campus for sure, and that being Louisville, Illinois, Xavier. I think Illinois views themselves as having a legit shot, and Tim Anderson has a good relationship with the family. As far as I understand it, they're definitely selling winning, especially as opposed to Louisville and trying to convince him that, hey, they're in a better position to come in your final year. We're coming off an Elite Eight. Yes, there are a lot of new pieces, but you fit really well with Kylan Boswell. We're going to go big game hunting on the wing and have some good pieces that can get us on a path to compete at the top of the Big Ten and go on another run where Louisville's got, although they're adding transfers left and right and have a lot of NIL money to do so, that it will be maybe tougher for Pat Kelsey in year one. So that's what they're trying to send as far as a message and have that hit home with him. And speaking of home, he's from the state. His dad's coached at Bloom Township up near the Chicagoland area since 2015. So I haven't heard a ton new, admittedly, as far as that goes. I would say my latest feel on that is that Louisville and their NIL bag, so to speak, that they have is probably the the biggest thing to worry about, and I would probably lean Louisville at right now, even though they did just add a guard today in Javon Hadley from Colorado. 6 foot six, though, where Dante's 6'2". They have Hadley from Colorado, averaged 11.5 points, 6 rebounds, 2.5 assists this past year with the Buffs. And you have Terrence Edwards Jr., who they got earlier in the offseason.
I know Kelsey brought a guard with him from Charleston as well.
Is that right? Terrence Edwards, 6'6", 190, 17 a game. Seems like, from what I've heard, he got big, big money, the guy from James Madison, and even the Colorado player here that Hadley, pretty penny to bring him. It seems like Louisville just has a ridiculous amount of NIL funds right now, and I think Illinois is a little bit concerned about that if he wants to take advantage of what's on the table for him with the Cardinals.
Yeah, the two things that give me optimism about him are the two things you hit on. One, this is a fifth-year COVID senior who has 1 year left, one last ride in college basketball. Illinois can sell him more on winning next year. Now, I know, honestly, Illinois has had so much turnover and Louisville's adding so many transfers that I guess you could kind of say, well, Louisville could probably be pretty decent next year. This isn't Kenny Payne here anymore. If they go out and spend their huge NIL budget and just keep throwing a transfer all-star team together, they could win. But Illinois has proven it recently. This is a Louisville program that's been a disaster the last 3 years. So theoretically, Illinois can give him a far greater assurance of competing, whether that's just making the NCAA tournament or competing at the top of a conference, than Louisville can. And then two, him being from the state, I think that does hold some value for a lot of these guys, especially for somebody who, not to say that Toledo is all that far, but the guy's been at Toledo for 2 years, and then he was at, what, Cal State Fullerton was his first two, or Cal State something?
Cal State Fullerton and then Toledo, yep, you're right.
So I think that some of these guys, like, it's, you get one free year of college basketball, being close to home, being somewhere where your family can come see you play, like, that's a real factor, especially if it is kind of a toss-up recruitment where maybe you go back and forth and you like two different spots. That home factor can definitely play a part. And again, Louisville's not like super far. It's not California again, but I think being in state could end up being a sort of a tipping point. At the same time, it's NIL. Like, NIL is probably the true tiebreaker in a lot of these. So if Louisville truly does have the biggest NIL offer on the table and that's what he ends up going with, you can't blame him. And that definitely is a concern. If that's what it appears to be, if Louisville can be more aggressive than Illinois can for him money-wise, then that's always probably going to win out.
Yeah, no, that's well said. I will say that something that I learned throughout the season as far as what I heard was that you might hope this, and I don't know how big of the difference is. Like, Illinois has NIL. Like, they're not, you know, claiming to be poor by any means as far as this goes. I wonder what the number is. Is it a difference of $100,000? Is it a difference of $200,000 of what Louisville's going to give versus what Illinois would give with their offer? I think that, admittedly, when Maddox first went into the portal, some of the talk, and I was just taking a first glance at him, didn't know much about him as a player. Would he be just coming in as like Justin Harmon, a juiced up version of Justin Harmon? Would he be off the bench? Would he be a sixth man? That type of thing. I think that Alfonso Plummer was kind of recruited as that. Now I ultimately became a starter as well. But in watching him more and hearing more about how Illinois views, I have no doubt they think that he would slot perfectly right in next to Boswell in their starting backcourt. So I don't worry about him in terms of opportunity. And I think that the more I've watched Boswell, I don't know that he's a ball in the hand, every possession type of guy. I think that you can actually tell Maddox you probably liked having more on-ball chances at Toledo this past year with Reggie Dennis gone. You can do that at Illinois because Boswell's good off the ball as a shooter, and similar, he can have the ball in his hands and you can be that spot-up guy, run you off of screens type of thing. So I think Illinois checks that box as well. But what I was getting at is that Quincy Guerrier, I had heard, had a significantly higher NIL price if he would have went to an SEC school. I think two SEC schools had bigger offers on the table for him, but he ultimately chose Illinois because he had a relationship with the staff, which is different because they recruited him two other times, but also wanted to win, and maybe that winning will outweigh the money ultimately. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I would love to have him. To have a knockdown shooter like him in the backcourt, I think, is what Illinois is going to need, assuming that probably whoever you add on the wing is, you know, we don't even know who that's going to be at this point.
Might not even be somebody that's in the portal right now.
Sure, yeah, there's plenty of time left. So it's hard to say what that player might look like, and then you look in the front court and you look with Ty Rogers coming back, like this team needs shooting and reliable shooting that's going to be in their starting lineup that you can trust in the backcourt. So I think he would be a great addition, and just watching a little bit of him, his range is incredible. Mm-hmm. He's making like NBA threes consistently. I know it's a highlight tape. I've watched the highlight tape, and they all go in for him. But there was like
look at his percentages, like a lot of them go in.
NBA range threes that he was knocking down last year. So he can really shoot it. He can shoot it off movement too. You can run some actions for him, just designed specifically to get him looks from three. I think he would be a perfect fit alongside Boswell in the backcourt, and I think they could play well off each other.
Yeah, and I was impressed, admittedly, watching some of the highlights, and I will get to some more game film, especially if he ends up coming here as well. But even if you look at some of the passes he made when he was on the ball with some of his metrics, like his usage rate went up a lot with the ball in his hands more with Dennis gone. His turnover rate on KenPom actually went down. So as somebody that was asked to do more from a facilitating standpoint or just on-ball creator, you would think if he really wasn't capable of being in that role, yes, it's at the MAC level versus at the Big Ten, but his turnovers didn't just spike. It actually, the rate of turnovers per usage actually went down. So I think that he can do some things in pick and roll or pushing in transition at the very least if you add him. And obviously Boswell can do some of that as in addition too. So
you can never have too many ball handlers. I know that's funny to say that coming off last year when you didn't know if you had any ball handlers. But really, you can never have too many guys that can handle the ball, that can create, that you can trust with the ball in their hands. And it would be nice to have kind of a two-headed monster there in the backcourt coming off a year where you didn't have a true point guard and you kind of had to force Damask into that role, which he did great, and you designed an offense around what he was able to do well. But I think that would be a backcourt you could get really excited about.
Before we move on, 217 asked on the U of I Atlanta Link text line, do you think UConn's recruiting blueprint is similar to the Illini? It's a good question.
Not really, right, though, because they still have built from the high school ranks pretty heavily.
They've done both. Like Klingon was from the high school rank. They've gone high-end high school players, like Stephon Castle, obviously going to be a lottery pick, expected to be this upcoming year.
Their first title team 2 years ago, their top three players were high school guys that Sanogo. I believe they recruited. Sanogo, Jordan Hawkins, and Andre Jackson.
Yes.
Those were all high school recruits that went straight to UConn, I think.
I believe that's correct, yep. And they supplemented with transfers like, who was the Calcaterra, was the shooter off the bench. Of course, Tristan Newton is the big splash.
Yeah, him and Cam Spencer this year were both transfers, and they were the pretty clear two. Well, no, Klingon was, I was going to say two best players, but two of the three best players.
Right. No, I think that they are similar probably in terms of like the way they want to ideally do it. Like I think here recently, like if the staff truly believed Imani was a building block piece, fit very well with Merez, who they believe is a building block piece, then I think that it's a totally different conversation. You're not probably recruiting Kerry Booth. And if you are, maybe you're recruiting him to be a backup to him, which obviously you're not probably in his position to land his commitment. So I think that there are differences to your point, especially in terms of the roster build this past year with even your stud who was here for 2 years and Terrence Shannon was collected via the portal as well. But UConn does like to go in the portal, obviously. Tristan Newton was probably what different players, but what Illinois had in mind with like a Ray J. Dennis of being able to go out there and get from a lower level, mid-major level, because Newton came from ECU. Ray J. obviously from Toledo, but Illinois struck out as far as that goes. So I do think it's fair to point out they have done more damage in the high school ranks that have translated. Like Illinois has had some good ranked classes, like the Sky Clark, Ty Rogers, Jaden Epps, Sincere Harris class was a top 15 class nationally. It's just none of those guys. Well, Ty Rogers is the only guy left from that group. So there is that difference, but
I guess the other thing too is that UConn does not have a bunch of guys transfer out, and that's kind of what's allowed them to maybe have some. And it's a product of they've recruited higher level talent out of high school,
yeah,
and so they've been able to play them more early in their careers, develop them more, keep them around. But I think that's kind of the other part of what's made UConn so dominant is that when they get somebody, those guys are sticking around and buying in, and
at least the guys they want,
the guys
stay,
they
right?
want, yeah. And you could say the same about Illinois, I think,
yeah,
for the most part.
I agree.
It's just you see more guys
maybe outside
leaving.
Of Jaden,
yeah.
Even though there were fractions in the relationship there at the very end, but yeah, no, that's a fair point. I do think another thing, and I've hit on this a handful of times with you already. We don't have to go all the way down the rabbit hole with it, but UConn still, between Sanogo and between Klingon, making it a priority to get big guys. Like, not necessarily, not to say that Illinois isn't, because they're bringing in Merez, so maybe I'm answering my own question here, but like, Sanogo was a little bit smaller, like, in terms of height. He was not a 7-footer. What was he, like 6'9", maybe? But a really ferocious rebounder and good finisher around the basket, a guy you can throw it into.
Yeah, don't tell me Merez Johnson isn't going to dominate at center when
you're right.
National title winning center was 6'9". I'm just saying.
You're right. But I wonder if they want, and I think they do. I think they do want a rim protector to go with Merez. I think Merez can develop into that as his career goes along. But I think that they maybe want a 7-footer. Not saying he's going to be Donovan Klingon. There are. Those guys between him and Edie don't grow on trees, but on that note,
Donovan Klingon was 7'2" also. I think he was true 7'2". That's right. It's rare to find those guys that are able to move as fluidly as he is at his size and just wreck a game. It would be nice. Even Kofi, like, for as good as Kofi was, and he was dominant offensively, he was exploitable on the defensive end. Mm-hmm. And was never really a high-level shot blocker. I think the one time that I would be okay with Illinois kind of building that way is if you get that unicorn type, which is just a complete game changer with the combination of size and rim protection. And Illinois hasn't necessarily had that guy in a long time. And that's what I think separates the Edies and the Klingons from the rest of the pack.
Yeah, no, that's fair. As far as 7-footers go, in terms of building, or part of the building block being a big-time five-man, Omar Ballo transferred from Arizona, utilizing his COVID year. I believe that's correct. He played a year at Gonzaga, 3 years at Arizona, and now he has committed to play at Indiana. Jeff Goodman had a tweet earlier today. Now, he clarified, and I wonder if he maybe got a text from somebody that said, hey, don't put that out there that we paid that much, but that he had heard from coaches that the asking price on Ballo was $1.2 million. I had heard that from someone else as well. I don't know that Indiana gave him all of $1.2 million, but have heard some mutterings as far as Indiana goes that those people that really, the boosters that were very much in support of Mike Woodson coming back, and there had to be that for him not to have gotten fired, that those people said, we're going to really buck up in NIL in a must-win year, and you don't worry about how much it costs. You go out and make stuff happen. So it seems like Indiana's rolling in the dough, I think, in terms of NIL, and Ballo is an addition now that they're going to put back in their front court with Renew, and probably means Mbako at the three again, and are they going to have enough guard play? Are they going to have enough shooting? That is in question still, Kyle. So Omar Ballo put up 13 and 10 last year, has the ability to be a rim protector as well, played on some good Arizona teams. What do you make of his addition to the Big Ten and to Indiana?
Indiana has brought in the most talent of any program in the Big Ten since Woodson has taken over. I think that's fair to say, probably. When you look at him getting Hood Schifino there, was that his first year? Second year? He got Hood Schifino there with Trace Jackson Davis holding over, obviously. And then last year, obviously, to get Khalil Ware out of the portal and to bring in Mbako. Now this year, you get another five-star wing. You go to the portal, get the number one rated center in the portal in Ballo. You get a point guard who is rated highly. He's bringing talent there. I just question if his method of building a roster can win nowadays, because it didn't last year. Last year's team was really talented with good players on it, and the guard play just held the team back. The lack of shooting held the team back. There's no doubt that a front court of Malik Renew and Khalil Ware was probably the best in the conference outside of Edie and whoever Purdue played next to Edie. But there's only so much you can do with a team that is so offensively limited on the perimeter. I think this one can be better, though, because I do think getting Miles Rice from Washington State is a reliable point guard. While he didn't shoot it great last year, I think he's probably a better shooter than his overall percentage was. Much like kind of Kerry Booth, how we project him, if Illinois is able to get him, I project him to be much better than 29% in his second year of college. I would say Rice would probably be better than that next year. But also just the fact that Xavier Johnson was such a disaster last year, I think getting a guard you can actually trust now will make a difference for them. I think Indiana, I still, on paper, their talent says that they should be like a national title contender. I don't think that's necessarily going to happen for them, because I just don't know if you can win with that front court. But I think they've positioned themselves to keep Mike Woodson's job. I think he's gone out and he's shown that he can go get talent. And I think they'll be improved this year. They need to add a shooter. They need to add a knockdown shooter, whether that's on the wing, whether that's at the shooting guard spot. If they add a knockdown shooter to close out their portal class, I probably will have to tip my cap and say I'm a little worried about the Hoosiers next year.
Yeah, Miles Rice last year as a freshman, 15 a game, 4 assists. He did only shoot 27-28% from three, so you have that concern. And then really that's the broken record for Indiana, is that, yeah, but the shooting is not there. Cannon Carlisle, who they're also still recruiting out of Stanford, he was a freshman last year as well, 11.5 points, 3 assists, 32% from three. And yes, they had the I'm trying to pull up. Bryson Tucker is the top 30 freshman who they're bringing in. I believe, did he play overtime elite? I don't know if he, or maybe that was the guy that I think I'm confusing a couple of different guys. But he was a McDonald's All-American type. But one of the things when you read into some of his scouting reports is he doesn't have the best jump shot from the perimeter. That's one thing that he needs to work on.
Welcome to Indiana.
Welcome to Indiana is right. Still have Trey Galloway back. Nice player.
He didn't make any shots last year.
Really had a big dip in terms of his shooting, because it was a limited sample size in comparison. When you go back a year to the 22-23 season with Trace, with Hood Schifino, but he shot 46% from three that year, only on 65 attempts. This past year, he had 100 attempts, only made 26. So 26% from him. They're going to need a lot more out of that. I don't know that I mentioned Jaden Shoot as a guy that they should go after. With this NIL money, they could probably maybe aim higher for a more proven guy. In terms of, maybe it's a mid-major guy that's taken more shots, had more of a role. But if they did get like a complimentary piece who's going to come in and make shots off the bench, at the very least. And Mbaku, I'll give him that credit, because he improved in Big Ten play. You look at Big Ten play, he shot 38% from beyond the arc. So that was something that he showed he could do. But one thing, Kyle, like Khalil Ware could at least step out and make a jump shot. Mm-hmm. Omar Ballo's not going to do that. So there is going to be a clogged lane for Malik Renew. I don't know that Renew is going to become much of an improved shooter. He took 45 threes last year and made 15.
If I'm Renew sitting there right now, I'm entering the portal. That's what I'd do. He had a good year last year, but he wasn't able to showcase himself to the best of his ability because he was playing alongside Khalil Ware, and it just was a roster that made life so difficult on him. I know he's in foul trouble all the time, and I guess that's the one thing that would hold you back from committing to him as playing center for you, is that he's such a foul trouble guy that can you trust him to be on the floor? But I wouldn't be happy if I was him getting Omar Ballo. Now, the one thing I will say about Ballo is he's not necessarily a guy who needs to have the ball all the time, or is a center that you know you're going to have to play through, because of, he's a guy that does a lot of his work off of pick and roll and off of offensive rebounding and just rim running. So in that sense, I think it probably works out more than a guy like Khalil Ware needed the ball to be successful last year. Not that he couldn't, you know, make an impact on the defensive end, but that, I guess, fits a little better. But like you said, floor spacing's the thing. Is can you space the floor enough to let those big guys have success? And can you make enough shots to make the defense go out and guard you on the perimeter and give those guys one-on-one matchups? I just question that. I'd have to see it. I'm excited in November to see, because this past November you could tell right away this isn't going to work. So it'll be another situation. Sure. I knew it. I predicted it preseason. I'm a little more optimistic about this roster, but I still am very skeptical about it. I know there's probably going to be a lot of preseason predictions that have Indiana winning the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking in that direction.
And I can't wait to not have that and see how that goes for me.
Yeah, talent-wise, if you just looked at it on paper, you might say they're the best team. We'll see. There's a lot left to play out. I think Illinois obviously wants to have a say in that. Purdue has a chance to have a say in that. Wisconsin isn't in a terrible position either with all that they have coming back. So there's a lot left to play out, and we still have about 2 weeks to know all that is out there in terms of guys in the portal. And it is worth throwing this asterisk in there. If you're a grad transfer, you don't have to be in the portal by May 1st. You can be in the portal whenever you graduate. So that's another thing that we have to remember and keep in
Derek
mind.
Keep Derek Piper glued to his phone until June.
Yeah. I don't know, man. We'll see if I'm alive. Speaking of Scott saying that, you don't know if you're going to be alive in 5 years. I don't know if I'm going to be alive in 5 weeks. We'll see. All right. I got to catch a break. Before we do that, got to do a little bit of work. Let me tell you about Busey and spring cleaning your finances. The season for spring cleaning is here, and while many may focus on organizing closets and scrubbing floors, Busey encourages you clean up your finances too. Here are 7 steps to cut back on financial clutter. Evaluate and pay down debt. Take a look at how much you owe and what you need to pay in interest. Review your budget. A lot can change in a year. Determine areas where you can cut back. Check your credit report. Take advantage of a credit report consultation from Busey. Sign up for e-statements and paperless billing. Keeping your house physically and financially organized. Set up automatic bill pay and never worry about a missed payment impacting your credit score. Consolidate your accounts, close accounts you rarely use. And lastly, download the Busey mobile app. Manage your finances anytime, anywhere. To get started on spring cleaning today with your expertise and innovation that Busey has to offer, you can go to Busey.com for all the resources, or you can stop by one of their many convenient locations. Busey, member FDIC.
Think you have to settle for mediocre car insurance to save money? Think again. It's possible to get superior coverage and still save money with Erie Insurance. Customers who switched to Erie saved up to $951. It pays to compare. Switch and save with Erie.
Your Erie agent in Champaign is Thomas and Eller's Insurance.
Annual savings based on new customers surveyed in March 2022 who reported savings when switching auto insurance. Individual premiums and savings will vary.
Since Busey Bank first opened our doors in 1868, we have built upon a tradition of close relationships and broad financial capabilities. Our experienced team provides the highest level of personalized service to ensure we accomplish your goals, simplifying your wealth management and business lending needs, and ensuring a legacy for generations. Building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery, we're flooring people with amazing service, great design advice, and unbeatable selection, and the best prices in town. It's the perfect time to update your home with waterproof flooring, carpet, hardwood, tile, and more. Then complete your rooms by shopping our incredible selection of furniture and accessories. We also offer great financing options. Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery, we're flooring people.
Introducing Logic Coworking, where productivity meets comfort. Elevate your work experience at the best coworker facility in the area. With state-of-the-art amenities, high-speed internet, and a vibrant community, Logic Coworking is your ideal workplace. Enjoy flexible plans, ergonomic workspaces, and collaborative environments. Your perfect workspace is waiting for you, because at Logic Coworking, they're not just coworkers, they're collaborators. Visit logic.work for details.
Bring on spring. Get the light and delicious Greek pizza. Topped with premium mozzarella, feta, new sliced Kalamata olives, diced tomatoes, mild peppers, and red onions. It's the best Detroit-style pizza around, with a crispy, crunchy, cheesy crust to the edge. Hurry in and enjoy a large Greek Detroit-style pizza for $16.99. Code word Greek. Jets. Better because it has to be.
BMW, Buick, GMC, Honda, and Subaru. Welcome to Sarah Champagne. We can handle all your car repairs on site, including paintless dent repair, bumpers, windshields, everything in between. We have an amazing selection of new or pre-owned vehicles to choose from. Shop from home and buy online or reserve your vehicle before it hits our website or dealership. Sarah Champagne is home of the Sarah One Price Promise, delivering an honest and transparent buying experience. Hurry in or shop online at sarahchampagne.com.
Have you ever looked at a junk truck and said, man, that truck is pretty? Two men in a junk truck trucks are pretty. They're pretty big, so they can handle large jobs. They're pretty reliable. Two Men in a Truck has been recognized as a trusted leader in the moving industry for over 35 years. Now we are proud to offer that same reliability to junk removal, and they're pretty fast. When you're ready to let some things go and that you don't need, you don't want to wait 3 weeks. You want it gone now. Go to twomenandajunktruck.com and make room for what matters most.
Back on the drive with Zane Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Let's shift gears a little bit. We're talking hoops heavy most of the show, and we'll finish out with Brad Underwood. He actually met with Diane and Stevie on the air last week to really preview tonight's Coaches versus Cancer event there at Gordyville. So I want to replay that for those that didn't catch it when it was on in the morning last week. But before we do that, got to give some love to Johnny Newton. Had his pro day today here in Champaign. Shout out to Jeremy Warner and Joey Wagner, IlliniInquirer.com, who is there covering that. They have a interview scrum that we want to be able to get to you, his latest thoughts on his draft prospects. And
21 NFL teams are there.
It's a big deal. 21 NFL. He didn't go through the like 40 time and testing, that kind of testing, yep. Right? But did do some drills and was able to show out coming off of, what was his injury again? I should know this.
Foot something.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
I should have done my research before offering that up. But yeah, he did not participate in the NFL Combine back in, was that March?
Jones fracture in his foot.
Okay, Jones fracture in his foot. Still, I think projected as a. Is he still on? I've admittedly haven't been scouring mock drafts.
I've seen him either sneak into the end of the first round or early second.
Okay,
is kind of his consensus right now.
Interesting. Wonder how much, if any, today would have been able to move the needle. I'm sure that very obviously interested teams out there seeing what his current status is. And, man, the film this past year was fantastic. A guy that was of, you know, All-American type caliber. So let's get you Johnny Newton, who spoke today in Champaign. This, again, courtesy of Atlanta Inquirer.
How'd you feel?
I feel good, man. I feel good to be out. I've been watching since the combine. Waiting for my time to come, so it finally came, and I feel good out there.
Did you meet your own expectations for it?
For sure. I mean, I've been going at it for only 2.5 weeks now, full speed, so to do what I did, I was really impressed with myself.
What did you want to show today, Johnny?
I just wanted to show that I could move. A lot of teams had doubts that I was fast, my lateral movement. I just wanted to display that today, show them that I'm still an RB.
You made the decision to go through more positional drills than measured drills. Like, what went into that choice?
Like I said, I only had 2.5 weeks of full speed training. I knew it'd be more important to show position work to the coaches than doing like a 40. I mean, they know I can move, and I'm pretty sure if I showed it my speed throughout these position drills, they could get a glimpse of what I got.
Dude, you've been just dying to get in front of scouts because you've been waiting months just to show the NFL what you got.
Yeah, man, I can only talk for so long. Like, my lips were starting to get tired. I was just waiting for my legs to do all the work. So I've been waiting for this time to come for a hot minute.
How do you feel going into next week, Johnny, just throughout the whole process of feedback you and your agent are getting?
I feel pretty good. Like, you never know until you know, of course, but the feedback I've been getting, it's always coming good. Just ready to see where I land.
Why do you think you should be a first-round draft pick?
I just feel like it's not a lot of guys that could play at the intensity, the speed that I play, and the domination that I bring to the game. I feel like that's rare and definitely in college football.
What is it like, Johnny, when your draft peers are running in front of people and you're kind of relegated to watching? How do you handle that? It seems like it wouldn't be the most fun thing to watch.
Mm-hmm. Man, it wasn't fun because I wanted to be out there myself, but I mean, I create relationships with everybody, so I was happy for all those guys cheering them on. Like, damn, you was moving. But the small things like that, like I'm happy for everybody. You know, I feel like we all can have success, and that my success depends on me. So as long as I'm doing good, that's all that really matters.
John, where are you going to be for the draft, and who's going
to
be with?
A lot of my family. We going back to Florida. In Orlando, got a little spot out there. I just wanted a lot of my family to be around me, definitely the ones that I grew up with, stay with, the ones who've been there for me throughout the process. So that's where I'm going to be at.
Does it matter to you who picks you at all? I mean, would you have a preference if somebody said you could pick one of those teams, or no?
Not really. Honestly, as long as I'm able to play football, I feel like that's all that matters. It doesn't matter the scheme. I feel like I dominated in a 3-4 scheme. So 4-3, 3-4, I feel like I could still be great with my play.
How much did this place mean to you?
I mean, they took me in. Guys like Coach Pat up there, just turn the camera on him. But that's one of the OGs, man. But it means a lot to me. Met a lot of great people here. Some of my brothers. My best friend, I love the city of Champaign, and it's done so much for me.
When you were definitely got picked last year, were you watching? Where were you at? And how would you feel when he got picked this year when he was get picked?
So I was in the locker room watching.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought he was going to go one pick later, but he got picked at 5. I was like, damn, like, the Seahawks was my favorite team growing up watching.
Did any part of you projected had this weekend, this day, you know, did it part when you watched him, do you see, mm-hmm. That's going to be me in a year?
That never crossed my mind at that point in time. Like, I still can't wrap around up the draft this next week. I live, like, a daily routine. Like, I think every day is a day. I plan ahead, but I never think ahead, if that makes sense.
Sure.
What would you tell scouts about Keith and Denzel? You saw him every day for a year, and several years with Keith.
Yeah, man. Can't leave out Bryce. That's Nestle
and Bryce,
Quick.
And Bryce too.
Yeah. Nah, man. The off seasons with those guys, man, we used to go on walks all the time together, putting in extra work. Keith, I came up here last night. Like I told y'all in the beginning, like we used to just run into each other late nights. I think it was like around 8:30 p.m. I came in here. He was in here. Like, damn, like the good old days, like how I began. But Denzel, incredible story. If you ever get to know it, y'all be inspired by his story. And Bryce, man, from tight end to DN to defensive tackle, I feel like Bryce has so much to show. And if the world could see it, they'd be shocked.
Did you get a moment with your plaque and your banner that's hanging up in this place now?
Man, it's crazy. just a part of my legacy being left here. I still haven't saw the one that's inside the stadium. I feel like that'd be pretty cool. I'm definitely gonna go see it before I leave. But every time I drive out there, I just gotta look to the left or look to the right, and then I'm just happy, man, that I stamped myself as one of the best to play for Illinois football.
You talked about it a little bit at the combine, kind of came up in one of the questions earlier. How special would it be to team back up with Witherspoon?
Man, that would be crazy. Me and Dav, we bring the same energy to the game, the same love and passion to the game. He might be more loud with it, but we definitely always on the same page, always chasing the same goal. Two Florida boys just dominating the game and want to be the best. at our position. So I feel like that'll be a dream come true.
I talked to your parents a little bit about when you went through the coaching change and you deciding to stick it out through Illinois with Bielema. How grateful are you that you made that decision to stick it out here and, you know, play 4 years and ultimately set yourself up to live out your dream?
I love my decision. You know, I was always taught finish what I start. So no matter the coaching change, a lot of kids leave because they feel like they have to prove themselves to a new coaching staff. I like that as a challenge to show them how great I am, put in all the hard work, and then have the same outcome with a new coaching staff. I feel like that's a great thing. So I'm really happy that I did that and the success that's came with it.